your kids are stressing you out. Maybe the first week of school is kind of stressful, right? Getting them ready in the morning, getting them in the routine, getting things going. So you're like, yeah, I wanted to get away or escape this week. Maybe your job right now, this season that we're entering, your job is stressing you out, right? There's a lot of things on your plate right now. Maybe you're wrapping things up or starting something new, and so there's a lot of stress. Maybe people are just wearing you out, right? People in general. And so like a Southwest Airlines commercial, their slogan is what? Do you want to get away? And you're like, yeah, right? I'm done, right? Stick a fork in me, I'm done. I've had enough. I can't deal with people anymore and all of their issues, right? Maybe that's how you feel this morning. However, as the old saying goes, it's the people who make this world go around, right? It's the people who make this world go around. It's the people God has placed in our path. It's the people God has placed in our lives that He has called us to love. Well, Jonah didn't want to love the people God had placed in his path. So what did Jonah do? Jonah chose a new path. And what happens when we choose to go our own way and do our own thing? God often has a way of getting our attention. How did He get Jonah's attention? Let's read on, verse 4. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all the time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. Now there's a word I can relate to, sleep. I'm amazed at how much Jonah and I are alike. That's exactly what I would have done. When I'm stressed out and overwhelmed, I always take a nap, right? I always tell Monica, I'm going to take a nap. I got to clear my head. I got to decompress. I got to relax. Where do you go when you're stressed out? Where do you go when you're overwhelmed? What do you do to decompress? Maybe you run to the bottle. A few glasses of wine or a few beers just to take the edge off. Maybe you go to the internet and you just surf endlessly on sites on the internet and you get lost in that world. Maybe you go to the TV to veg out. Or maybe it's the refrigerator. For me, it's ice cream, right? That's kind of my kryptonite, my comfort food, ice cream. Well, where did the captain of this ship go? He was stressed. He was overwhelmed. Anxiety was at all-time high. Where did he go? He went to Jonah, and he asked him to cry out to his God. The crew then cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods. And as it turned out, it was Jonah. They then proceeded to ask him a series of questions. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? And here's how Jonah answered them, verse 9. Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God who made heaven, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Well, how did the sailors react when they heard this news that he had offended the God of heaven, the God who made the sea and the land? They were terrified. So they naturally asked Jonah, what can we do to stop this storm that's going on right now? What can we do? How did Jonah respond? Let's read on here. Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, essentially what Jonah did here. He was like, here I am, God. Do with me what you want. Right? So what did the sailors do? What did the sailors do? Let's read on verse 13. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. They then cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. They cried out to Jonah's God. Oh, Lord, they pleaded, please don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm what? Stop at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. These verses are filled with irony. Jonah knows God. However, he doesn't obey God, right? He gets in a ship, right? Gets on a ship and goes in the opposite direction. He has no compassion for the people of Nineveh. He just doesn't care. The sailors, they didn't know God. However, they obeyed God. They show compassion to Jonah. Here's the thing. I think there are a lot of non-Christians. I think there are a lot of unbelievers who put us believers to shame. They're willing to jump in and help while we watch on the sidelines. And once again, I find that I'm just like Jonah. I know God, but sometimes my actions say something entirely different. And maybe you'd say the same thing about yourself. You know God, but deep down, you're not living for him. When push comes to shove, you're living for yourself. And that's what Jonah was doing. Well, what happened to Jonah? Let's read on. Verse 17. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Maybe you're in a dark place in your life right now. Right? Maybe you're in a dark place in your life right now. And if so, what do you need to do? You need to cry out to the Lord. Cry out to Jesus. This is what Jonah did. Continuing on in chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. And he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill my vows, all of them, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Maybe you feel like your life is slipping away. Maybe you feel that way this morning, as if your life is slipping away. Maybe you've been worshiping false gods. What are false gods? They're things we think will make us happy. If I just get this boyfriend, or if I just get this girlfriend, or if I just get this spot on the team, if I make first string, right, this year at school, or if I just get this position in my job, or if I just acquire this thing that I've been wanting, it will make me happy. What are false gods? Things we think will make us happy, but in the end, they leave us empty. obey the Lord. And praise God that He gives you and me second and third and fourth unlimited chances to obey Him. And the question is, would Jonah obey the Lord the second time around? Would he do what the Lord wanted him to do? He did it, but not with a good attitude, as we will find out. Chapter 3, verse 3. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command, and he went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowd, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, which rarely happens, right? When a prophet predicted something, but they believed them. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. What is the Lord commanding you to do today? What is it you feel in your heart that the Lord wants you to do today? In this relationship, at your school, in your job, what do you feel that this is what God wants you to do? I know it. I feel Him urging me to do it. For Jonah, it was to preach to the Ninevites. And I believe God wants you to share your faith, to share your story, to share your testimony with your mom or dad, brother or sister, neighbor or friend, co-worker or boss. He's calling you to do that. Will you do it? But I don't know how they'll respond, Ed. I don't know what my family or my friends or my classmate or teammate, I don't know what they're going to say. They might think I'm weird. You know, I'll never forget Matthew Parada. Who's Matthew Parada? A few years ago, his mom sent me his graduation picture and said, "We miss you down here in Florida." I said, "I miss Florida too." It was cold here. Matthew was a sixth grade boy in my youth group when I was a youth pastor in Homestead, Florida, south of Miami. Right? It was hot all year round down there. And Matthew said to me, "Ed, when I invite my friends at school to church, when I invite my friends at school to youth group, they make fun of me." And I was like, "Well, do you know what Jesus has to say about that?" And he was like, "No." And I said, "Well, let me share with you what the Lord has to say about that." So I took him to Matthew 5, 11 and 12, and I read these verses to him. "God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it and be very glad." And I read this to him, Matthew, the sixth grade boy. And he looked at me and he thought for a second. He said, "Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to keep on inviting my friends because I want to be blessed." That logic, right? He was thinking, the wheels were turning. You know, God's blessing was upon Jonah, but Jonah took it as a curse. Why? Because for a prophet to predict one thing and for another thing to happen wasn't good. Wasn't good for your reputation. Now the people would begin to question if he really was a true prophet of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 10. "When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened there in Nineveh." Now, how did Jonah feel about this change of plans? Remember, he didn't want to go there. He has no love for these people, right? Because they're not his people. They're not his group. They're not his clique. They're not his race. How did Jonah feel about this change of plans? Chapter 4, verse 1. The change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? I knew this was going to happen. That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are merciful, forgiving, compassionate, loving, compassionate, God, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. I knew this was going to happen. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now. Lord, I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Wow. How come Jonah would rather be dead than alive? Because he didn't want to return to Israel with his tail between his legs. Here's a question for you. What's keeping you from being a fully devoted follower of Christ? What's keeping you from giving the Lord your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, your whole being? What's keeping you from making that commitment? What is it you're afraid of? Jonah was afraid of losing his reputation. I have a reputation here at this school, at my job. I have a reputation to uphold. If you want to be used by the Lord, you're going to have to forget about your reputation. Let me say that again. If you want to be used by the Lord, you're going to have to forget about your reputation. It doesn't matter what others think of you. It doesn't matter what others think of you. It only matters what God thinks of you. Right? What about Jonah? Jonah was still hoping God would punish these people. This guy has, like, no heart. He's still hoping that God would punish the Ninevites. So he sticks around a little while longer to see what happens. I'm just going to sit over here and see what happens, how this all unfolds. About to wrap up here. Verse 5. Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for this plant. You know we love it when God is good to us, right? We love it when God is good to us. But what about when he's good to those that we don't really care for? Right? That teammate or that classmate, that boss or that coworker, that person in our family who just gets on our nerves, right? What about when he's good to them? How exactly did God go about testing Jonah's compassion? Let's read on here, verses 7 and 8. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. As the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he said, or exclaimed. Did Jonah pass the test? Had his heart changed at all? Verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? You're worried about this plant? What about these people over here? Sometimes you will get so confused. the Lord? How about we fix their building that they might see Jesus in us and ask us why we're doing what we're doing? You're angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. I'm amazed at things that I get angry about, right? Things that have no eternal value or significance. I'll just get mad, right? Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant. The plant, though you did nothing to put it here, it came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who are living in spiritual darkness. They're lost. They don't know me. Not to mention all the animals. That's an interesting phrase. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? I think our society today cares more about animals than it does about people. I really do. You walk down to Walmart, there's like 10 aisles for animals. All kind of good stuff. Why is Ed hating on animals? I always say I like dogs. I like dogs if they're not, as long as they're not licking me, sniffing me, or jumping on me. If God has compassion for animals, if God has compassion for animals, and he does,